Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Gittin Daf Tesvav. We are holding on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. We are in the third wide line of Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis at the word Lo on the third wide line. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children and Leila Nishmas's mother, Golda Bas Simcha LaShalom. It's also sponsored by Jeff Misher and Jason Misher in memory of their grandparents that have yard sites this week, Sylvia Har, Tilka Bas Avraham, Aaron Har, Aaron Ben Yirmiyo Yoshua, and Irving Misher, Yisrael Ben Meir, the Neshama Shnevin Aliyah. It is also sponsored by Eliza and Aaron Herton family in memory of their dear brother-in-law, Dr. Donny Lindenberg, Zichrono Levracha, Daniel Usher, Ben Aryeh Dov, whose first yard site is tomorrow, who is dearly missed, and the Shema should have an aliyah. So we thank all the sponsorships for all of these sponsors for their sponsorships. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. We started yesterday by quoting a brisa that spoke about a case where someone said, here, bring this money to so-and-so. And then you find that so-and-so had died. So what do? Do you give it back to the Mishaleach? Do you give it back to... So we had five different shittos about what to do in that case, five different opinions that were quoted in that brisa. Yesterday, we suggested that maybe the machlokas really revolved around Helech Kizuchi. But now we're going to suggest an alternative possibility of what they're really arguing about in that brisa. And then, since among the Tanaim quoted in that brisa is Rabbi Shimon Hanasi, the end of the parak is going to discuss, who is Rabbi Shimon Hanasi? Was there some Nasi we didn't know about by the name of Rabbi Shimon? Was Rabbi Shimon that we do know about a Nasi? Or was he quoting something in the name of a Nasi and somehow something got lost and they started referring to him as Rabbi Shimon Hanasi? Then, Bezos Hashem, we're going to begin the second parak, and the second parak is going to bring us back to the very familiar topic of saying, Bifanei Nichtav, Ubifanei Nechtam. So the Mishnah is going to talk about a number of cases where it wasn't done properly. One aide said, Bifanei Nichtav, another one said, Bifanei Nechtam. Well, a guy says, Bifanei Nichtav, Chetzio, Bifanei Nechtam, Kulo, or vice versa. So all of these different cases where Bifanei Nechtam doesn't seem to have been done properly. The Gemara, in addition to clarifying the Mishnah, is also going to add three different chidushim of Amoraim about when a get will be possible, even if we're able to verify the second aid because of unconventional ways with which we verify that second aid. And then the Gemara is going to point out that not every case in our Mishnah is a chiddush, that we're going to see that lo zu av zu katani, that sometimes Mishnayos are written in a way that that not every halacha in the Mishnah is a great chiddush. And then the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether you can combine two different methods of doing something. Meaning, since we're going to be talking about, let's say, the shliach says b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam, one of these Eidim, and then you have two Eidim of the other aid. You have two Eidim to be Mekayim, the signature of the other aid. So one is a regular Kiyum Shtaros, and one is this special Takan of Kiyum Shtaros, can they combine with each other to make for a Kiyum Ashtar? So the Gemara is going to translate that into other areas of Halacha. Let's say, for example, when it comes to making a Rishus HaYachid, so you need a Mechitza of Asara Tvachim, but there are many ways to have a Mechitza of Asara Tvachim. You could have an elevation in the ground that's 10 tefachim, and that will make the area on top a rishul sayachiv. You could have a depression in the ground, like a bar. You could have an actual mechitza. So can two of those things combine? Let's say you have a 5 tefach elevation above the ground, and then 5 tefach of mechitza. So does that make it into rishul sayachiv? Can you combine different methods? That's going to lead us into a sugya, we'll see if we get to it today, of netilas yadayim, where Ilfa raises the question whether netilas yadayim can happen half at a time, and we're not even sure what he means by that question. So the Gemara is going to have three possibilities of what Ilfa means to ask when he asks about Netilas Yadayim being done half at a time. Okay, Bezus Hashem, we'll see if we get there today. So let's begin again the third wide line on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, and we're trying to figure out what exactly is the machlokas, is the even the case or the subject of the machlokas in the case where you send someone to deliver money to somebody else, holich mana l'ploni, the guy goes and he finds that the fellow it's supposed to be delivered to is dead. So we had five opinions of Tanayim about what to do. What, in fact, are they arguing about? So says Gemara, lo, they are not arguing about holich kizchi like we suggested yesterday. Rather, they're arguing about the following. Bibari, first thing to know is, the case is that the Mishaleach is a healthy person. So, I'm sorry, Bibari dekuli amul pligi. The case is not that he's healthy. If he were a healthy person, then everyone would agree that holich is lav kizchi, and that for sure you would give it back to the Mishaleach. V'hach b'mayaskinan b'shchiv mira. The case over here is that he is not a healthy person, that the person who had sent you with the money is a shchiv mira, is a chola that had sent you with the money. And the Tanaim and the Braisa are arguing in the Machlokas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanon about the Shchiv Mira. So first we have to establish that there is a Machlokas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanon about the Shchiv Mira. Then we'll be able to plug in all five Shitos in Tanaim to figure out what they hold. So let's first establish that very basic fact. Ditanan, there is a Mishnah in Mesechus Baba Basra Daf Kuf Nun Vav that tells us the following. Hamechalik Nechas If a person is dividing up his estate to his children, and he identifies a specific amount to be given to each of his children, but not following the normal rules of Yerusha, which has it divided evenly among all of his children, except for all of his sons, at least, except for a Bechor getting Pishnayim, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Echad Bari Ve'echad Mesukan, whether the father was healthy or whether the father was dying of his illness, the Nechasim are not Nikna with just his saying that he wants this to go to that person, that to go to the other person. Nechasim sheyesh lenachrayis, nechasim that have achrayis, meaning karka, niknim bekesef shar b'chazaka, have to be go through the regular kinyanim that karka has to go through. Meaning, if you want to acquire karka, if you want to be makna karka to somebody, whether you're healthy, whether you're sick, you want to be makna karka, you do kesef shtar chazaka, the regular kinyanim karka. V'she'in lamachrayis, ein niknin el b'mshicha. And if it's metaltlin, you got to do a regular kinyan on metaltlin, because Rabbi Elazar holds that the din of shchiv mirah with regard to kinyanim is the same as anybody else with regard to kinyanim. So when he wants to distribute his estate in a way that does not follow the dinim of Yerusha, needs to make kinyanim in order to distribute it that way. The Chamomrim elu ve'elu niknin ba'mira. The Chamomrim say, no, whether it's karka or metaltlin, the guy is a shchiv mirah. So we have a special takana that amira alone, just a verbal declaration of where he wants everything to go, that itself is good enough for a kinyan. So Amrlo, the Chum said to Rabbi Lazar, Maisa b'iman shel b'nei Rochel. There was a story of the mother of the b'nei Rochel. Rochel, the Rashbam Babasa writes, is the person's actual name. That was not his profession, that was not a description of him, that was his actual name. So the mother of the b'nei Rochel, Shaisa Chola, she was sick, va'amra, and she had said in her illness, Tinasin kivinasi, I would like to give my brooch libiti to my daughter. Now the daughter is not one of the rightful yarshim because she had sons as well, and the sons the daughter doesn't yarshin b'makom banim v'hi b'shnei masarmana, and it was a very valuable brooch umesa, and she died v'kimu chacham mestavareha, and the chacham gave it to the daughter and not to the sons who were the yarshim minatora, even though there was no kinyan to the daughter, they didn't do a meshicha or anything like that. So you see that a matna shchiv mirah is niknis ba'amira. That is the raya that the Chum bring to Rabbi Lazar. So Tosos and the Ritva raise the following question. L'chora, the kasha that Chum asks in Rabbi Lazar is not really a kasha, because in this maisa of the B'nai Rochel, she died in the end. So forget about the fact, forget about whether divrei shchiv mirah k'ksuvin u'kum surim. Maybe divrei shchiv mirah are not k'ksuvin u'kum surim, but there's something else that becomes operative over here, and that is mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, meaning even if it doesn't act as a kinyan itself, but there's another factor, and that is that if a person gave instructions and then died, so mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, you're supposed to give the things where they're supposed to go, even if it's not a kinyan. So Tosfos and the Ritva each answer in their own way, and through their answers limit the applicability of the principle of mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. That's why it's an important kasha. It's an important kasha for the Terutzin, because based on the Terutzin, we're going to see that Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Ames is not nearly as broad as people sometimes think it is. So even just from the Gemara itself, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis always applies about identifying where money is going to go. It's never just stam about someone wanting and wishing. You know, it's not like you're granted three wishes upon your death, and then everyone has to fulfill whatever the wishes are. I mean, it's always about money. It's always about Dinei Mamonis. But Tosos further limits. Tosos says that the Din Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis is only when it was hufkat biyad shlish, when that which you want to give was given over to a third party, like in the case of the Bnei Rochel, there was no third party that was in possession of it. It was the woman herself that wanted it to go to her daughter. The Ritva suggests that Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis, you have to be mechalik between when the mace was megala the ratzon to give a matana to Ploni. That's not Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis. Just saying that I want this to go. You know, if I had my wish, this would go to so and so, versus a particular see void to other people to do it, to take care of it. Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis is when there's a tzivui, not just that we know this was their wish, this was their desire, but that they actually put someone in charge of it and instructed them to take care of it. That's when you'd say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis. So these are important limitations on the Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis. But anyway, back in the Gemara, the raya that the Chum bring to Rabbi Lazar is that you see that the Chum were Mekayim Mitzvreha. There was no, according to the Rishonim, there's no Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis that was operating over here. It must be, why did the Chachamim give the brooch to the daughter? Because Divrei Shchiv Mira Kiksuv Nekum Surin Dami. You don't need a kinyan for a Shchiv Mira. So Amalem, Rav Lazar said back to the Chachamim, Bnei Rochel Tikrei Mimeim. Bnei Rochel should be cursed. They die before their Zman. Meaning we shouldn't mention them in the Beis Medrash for any Raya that happened with the Bnei Rochel. They were Rishoim. They violated Nisar Klayim. So the Chachamim didn't want to mention their names in the Beis Medrash. And therefore, since they didn't want to mention their names in the Beis Medrash, they weren't so exacting and precise in what exactly she said. And to be Mekayim, you know, it could be that what she said shouldn't have been Mekuyim, but they weren't paying such careful attention to her case, because the whole case of Bnei Rochel were very hesitant to even bring up the Bnei Rochel, because they were terrible people who violated the Isser Klayim. Rashi writes, what do you mean they violated the Isser Klayim? They were Mekayim Kotsim Bekerem. They kept thorns growing in the Kerem. And the sheet of Rabbi Lazar in the fifth paragraph of Masechus Klayim is that that's considered Klayim. The strange thing is that the Chum disagree with Rabbi Lazar over there. And the Chum say that it's not Klayim. Kotsim in the Kerem is not Klayim. Tavua in the Kerem would be Klayim. Kotsim in the Kerem, according to the Chum, is not Klayim. So Nachlas Moshe raises the question. He says, I don't understand. Why would we be so critical of them? They were following the sheet of the Chum, which is probably how we paskin. So why is it that they're so accursed or whatever? It must be that in wherever they live, they followed the sheet of Rabbi Lazar. So if you live in a place that follows the sheet of Rav Lazar, then you have to follow the sheet of Rav Lazar. You're not allowed to follow whichever sheet and tanam you want. But bottom line is, what we have now established is that there is a machlokas between the Chum and Rav Lazar whether divrei shchiv mera require a kinyan, or we assume that automatically the amira alone serves as a kinyan. Now that we know that there is that machlokas tanaim, now we can plug it into all five sheetos from yesterday's brisa. So the Tanakama that said in the previous brisa that when the Mishaleach is still alive, you bring the money back to the Mishaleach, that's Rabbi Lazar. That follows Rabbi Lazar, that Divrei Shchiv Mera are not Kiksuv Nekum Surin. So there's never a kinyan done to the person who was meant to, the money was meant to be delivered to. So give it right back to the Mishaleach. For Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Yaakov, Nami, Rabbi Lazar. And Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Yaakov, who said that even if the Mishaleach dies, you give it to the Yorshim of the Mishaleach, also like Rabbi Lazar, that Divrei Shchiv Mera are not Kiksuv Nekum Surin. So it belongs to the Mishaleach the whole time. If the Mishaleach is dead, so it goes to his Yarshim. And Avgav Demis, and even though he died, Lo Amin Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis. We don't say a principle of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis, that there is no such din of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis. So the Rabbi Nassim and Rabbi Yaakov are just adding that not only do we deny Divrei Shchiv Mera Kiksuv Nekum Surin, we also deny Mitzvah Kaim Divrei Meis. The Yeshomrim said that you give the mana to the Yorshim Mishan Shtalchulo, you give it to the Yorshim of the guy that they were meant to be delivered to. Karabanan, holds like the Rabbanan, that the Rishchev Merah are Kiksum Lukum Sumer Dami. And therefore, the second you were sent on this Shlichus, so that it already belonged to the guy that you were supposed to deliver it to. He died afterwards, but it's already his. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Sha'amar Mishum Rameir, and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says in him Rameir, Krabi Lazar, also where Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Sha'amar Mishum Rameir, held that you have to be Mekayim Divrei Meis and give it to the Yorshe Mishon Shalchulo, hold that Rabbi Lazar, that Divrei Shchiv Mera are not Kiksuv Lekum Surin Dami, and therefore it would really belong to the Makabel. But if Divrei Shchiv Mera are not Kiksuv, and therefore in order it would really belong to the guy who sent it, it would not belong to the guy that was receiving it. But Miu Hech Demis, the guy who sent it died. Well, then I mean, Mitzvah Kaim Divrei Meis. Well, Divrei Shchiv Mera Kesuv Lekum Surin Dami doesn't kick in because we deny that halacha. But once he dies, so then Mitzvah Kaim Divrei Meis kicks in. So you still have to deliver it to whoever you have to deliver it. V'cham Mamrim Yachloku, and the Cham said Yachloku Misafkalu. They're simply not sure whether we pass like the Rabban and Rabbi Lazar, whether Divrei Shchiv Mera Kesuv Lekum Surin Dami or not. The Kanamu, and above we said Shuda Adif, that Shuda is better. What's Shuda? That you decide whatever you think, whatever the Shliach thinks the Meshaleach really would have wanted. So he figures that out and decides that. But it's a way of dealing with the situation of Safek, because it's a Safek, so you do Shuda. Rabbi Shimon Anasi, Maisa Asal Ashminan. And Rabbi Shimon Anasi, who told us to follow Rabbi Nasan and Rabbi Yaakov, was just adding about Rabbi Nasan and Rabbi Yaakov that Tacham actually paskin dalach ala maisa like Rabbi Nasan Rabbi Yaakov, because it's always better when you have a maisa rab that adds a certain oomph to the psak. So now that we mention, so that's the way, the proper way to understand the five shitos in that brisa. But once we mention that there is such a person named Rabbi Shimon Anasi, the Gemara says, well, who is he? We never heard of Rabbi Shimon being a Nasi. We never found that he was a Nasi. So says the Gemara, Ibayilu, Rabbi Shimon Anasi, Nasi who? O Mishmei de Nasi Kamer. Does that mean that Rabbi Shimon Anasi was someone who himself was a Nasi? Or is he just someone who said things in the name of Anasi? So Tashma, the Amr Rav Yosef, Halacha Rabbi Shimon Anasi. Rav Yosef the Amora says that we pass on Rabbi Shimon Anasi. Amorim typically are more elaborate a little bit more. They wouldn't be so cryptic. So by the fact that Rav Yosef didn't say, Rabbi Shimon says it in the name of Anasi, seems to imply that Rabbi Shimon himself was Anasi. Says Gemara, yeah, they elaborate a little bit more, but not always so much more. V'adayinti ba'ilach, Nasi yu odukar mishmei denasi. You could still ask a reasonable shaila, even if Rav Yosef was quoting Rabbi Shimon Anasi, whether he was actually Anasi or just saying something in the name of Anasi. And where's his take? We don't really know. We're not sure who this Rabbi Shimon was. Was he someone who was Anasi, or is he just saying something in the name of Anasi? Gufa, Am Rav Yosef halach Rabbi Shimon Anasi. Rav Yosef says we pass on Rabbi Shimon Anasi that you return the money to the Yorshei Mishaleach. So I ask the Gemara, how could Rav Yosef say we pass on like that? V'kaimlan, don't we paskin divrei Shchiv Mera k'ksuv l'kum surin dami? Rabbi Shimon Anasi was following the opinion that when a Shchiv Mera says something, that is not the same as a kinyan. We paskin, it is the same as a kinyan. So Rabbi Yosef mukila bibari. Yeah, Rabbi Yosef would say that the Bryce is talking about a case where the guy was a healthy person, was not a Shchiv Mera, and everyone agrees divrei bari are not k'ksuv l'kum surin dami. So frankly, Gemara, but v'hali yorshei mishaleach ka'amar. But Rabbi Shimon said that you give the money to the Yorshim of the Mishaleach. So it sounds like we're talking about a case where the Mishaleach died. V'kaimelon mitzvah l'kaim divrei meis. And don't we paskin mitzvah l'kaim divrei meis? So forget about divrei Shchiv Mera k'ksuv l'kum surin dami. But if the guy died in the end, you still have mitzvah l'kaim divrei meis. So shouldn't you have to do that? So it says, if the guy died, shouldn't you have to fulfill what his wishes and give it to the person that he intended to give it to, or to the Yorshim of the person that he intended to give it to? So it says, well, yeah, you have to change the wording a little bit. Not yachzuru, not the Yorshe Mishalech, that you give it to the Yorshe Mishalech, yachzuru l'mishalech. What it really should say is, t'ni yachzuru l'mishalech, that you give it back to the Mishalech himself because he's not dead. Nami. If he were dead, then you would say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis. But he's alive, and we don't say Kiksum L'Kum Surin because he was healthy too. So he's alive and he's healthy, so neither of those dinim are operative. There's no din of Divrei Kiksum L'Kum Surin because he's not a Shchiv Mera, and there's no din of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis because he's not dead. And therefore, you give it right back to him. And that must be what Rav Yosef was talking about. Okay, so Hadron Lach HaMevi Kama. Now we move on to the second parak of Maseches Gittin. So just to remind ourselves of some of the conversations about Bafani Nechtam, because that's what we're going to be jumping right back into. We had a Machlokas Rabba Rava, why it is that you need to say Bafani Nechtam. Rabba had said, because Ein Beki in Lishma, the Batei Dinim and Dina Sayam cannot be trusted to do things Lishma. This is a way of verifying that everything was done Lishma. Rava holds Ein Mitzvah in Lekaimo, that it's a modified version of Kiyum Shtaros, that we're not always confident that you're going to find two Eidim to be Mekayim the Shtar, so we allow for the Shliach himself to just say, B'fani Nichtav, B'fani Nechtav, to be Mekayim the Shtar. According to Rava, you shouldn't need B'fani Nichtav, it's all about the Chasimos to be Mekayim the Shtar. Yeah, but they wanted to distinguish it from other Kiyum Shtaros, so that people shouldn't think that one person saying B'fani Nechtav is a valid Kiyum Shtaros in general. It's a special din by a get that we were makel by a get, so we had to formulate it in a way that makes it obvious that a get is different. Then the Gemara had quoted a number of nafkaminas on Daf Beis and Beis between Rabba and Rava. One of them is if two people bring a get from Medina Sayam, so according to Rabba, they have to say b'fani nechtam to verify that it was l'shma, but according to Rava, it's Mitzuyin l'kaimo, you have two Eidim, two people who brought it, who we know traveled from Medina Sayam, so you do have the possibility of a real kiyum, and you wouldn't need to say b'fani nechtam. But then, at the end of the sugya on Dav Dalet and Beis, if you recall, we said even Rabba is moda to Rava, that the takanah to say b'fani nechtam was for kiyum haget. It's just that Rabba holds. On top of that, we also have lishma concerns. Then the Gemara said in Daf Hey that in later generations the lishma concerns weren't really lishma. In Medina Sayam was Achshar Dara, they improved their education. The Batei Din were upgraded and they knew that you're supposed to write things lishma. But even so, they kept the takana to say b'fani nechtam because Shem Yachs Dover L'Kul Kulo. You never know when things are going to go back to the way that they were. Okay, so now we move on to our Mishnah, beginning of the Perek. Maybe get Medina Siam. Someone brings a get from Medina Siam to Eretz Yisrael, but they don't do b'fani nechtam the way they're supposed to. V'amar b'fani nechtav avalo b'fani nechtam. He says b'fani nechtav, but he never says b'fani nechtam. Or b'fani nechtam avalo b'fani nechtav. The guy only verifies b'fani nechtam, but not b'fani nechtav. B'fani nechtav kulo b'fani nechtam chetzio, or he says the entire get was written in front of my face, but only one of the Eidim signed in front of me. Or he says, b'fani nichtav chetzio, I only saw half of the get written. The Gemara will discuss which half, what we're talking about. U'b'fani nechtam kulo, but I saw both Eidim sign on it. Possible. In all those cases, the get is going to be possible. Let's say there were two people that brought the get me Medina Siam. One of them said b'fani nechtav, and the other one said b'fani nechtav pasul, because it's pasul. Now, why it's pasul depends on Rabba and Rava. Okay, meaning again, what happened over here? Two people brought the get. One of them said b'fani nechtav. One of them said b'fani nechtav. So according to Rabba, if only one of them was the shliach, then the get is pasul because the shliach needs to be made on the ksiva and on the chasima. And over here, he was only made on one of them. If they were both shluchim, since the shliach that said b'fani nechtav didn't say b'fani nechtav, we might come to be machshir other shtaros with the kiyum of Eid Echad as well. And according to Rava, if they were both shlichim, the get would be kosher, because two people are bringing get in Medina Sayam, you don't even need b'fani nechtav, according to Rava. That was one of the nafkaminas. So the Mishnah must be talking about a case where two people brought it, but only one of them was actually a shliach. And the get is possible, because the shliach has to say both halves. He needs to say b'fani nechtav, and b'fani nechtam, and he didn't. Another case. Let's say you had three people that come with a get from Medina Siam. Shnayim omrim b'faneinu nechtav. Two of the people say the get was written in front of us. The echad omar b'fani nechtam. And one person says, and the get was signed in front of me. pasul. The get is pasul. Rabbi Yehuda machshu. Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. And again, how we understand this machlokas will depend on Rabba and Rava. According to Rabba, the Mishnah is talking about a case where it was already, the B'nai Medina Siyam already knew about Lishma. It's just that the Tanakhama held that you still need to say B'fali Neftim, because Shami Yachzor Adavar L'Kulkulo, a Gzeira, things are going to turn bad again. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you're right, that there's a Gzeira, Shami Yachzor Adavar L'Kulkulo, but Mishnah L'Shchichu L'Gazor B'Rabbanan. And it's very not Shchiach that two Shlichim or more are going to bring a get. So they never made that Gzeira when you have so many Shlichim bringing a get. So if only one of them was the Shliach, everyone would say the get is possible, according to Rabba's understanding, because that Shliach has to say, B'fali Nechtam. Machlokes Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda is when two of them are Shlichim. Tanakama passes the get, because even after the B'nai Medina Siyam became educated, the Bate Din Medina Siyam became educated, we still have this takana that you need to say B'fali Nechtam, B'fali Nechtam, G'zer Hashem Yachzov L'Kulkulo. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that if there are two Shlichim, since that's such an uncommon case, you don't need to say B'fali Nechtam, B'fali Nechtam, because the two people are right here, and they could be Mekayim the get. In the case of the Baal, is Ma'arer, that it's Mezuyaf, and we don't have to worry about that it was written Shalol Lishma, because there's no G'zer Hashem Yachzov L'Kulkulo on something that's not Matzoy at all. That's how Rabba understands this machlokas. Rava understands the machlokas that if both of them are shlichim, then you know there is no machlokas. The get, of course, would be kosher, because if two people bring a get, you don't need to say b'fali nechtam, b'fali nechtam. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the guy that's made on the chasima is the shliach. So according to the Tanakhama, the get is possible because he didn't say b'fali nechtam and b'fali nechtam. He needs to say both. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, the get is kosher because you have two people to be made on the chasiva, even though they're not the shlichim, but there's a heck of a davar that's a special din by a get, and no one's going to come to me machshir sharkim shtaros bialma with an eid echad, because the fact that you have such an unusual case of these three people teaming up and saying these different things, that should be enough. Now, if three people came from Medina Siyam, echram b'fani nechtav, mishnayim b'fani nechtam, that one person said b'fani nechtav and two of them said b'fani nechtam, so if the one that said b'fani nechtav is a shliach kasher, then it's kasher, because you had two people testifying about both chasimos, so that's a kiyum shtaros. And if the two people said b'faleinu nechtam are the shlichim, that the Gemara will get to later, whether that works or not. But if they're not the shlichim, you just stand at a regular kiyum shtaros, even better than a kiyum shtaros that we're misakin for a get. You didn't know a real kiyum shtaros. So now says the Gemara, Hasu lamali. What's our Mishnah really teaching me? Meaning the idea that if the shliach is meshana or doesn't fulfill the takanas chacham of how to verbalize your mission and bringing a get, that it's going to be possible. Why do you need to tell me this din again? That if you don't say b'fani nechtam properly, it's no good. Hatanu lechadazimna. The whole first parak was about that. Hamevi get mimdin siyam tzorok siyam b'fani nechtav b'fani nechtam. That was the most basic din, that when you bring a get, you need to say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. Says Gemara, no, imeahi havamina tzorich v'ilo amar kasher. I would have thought that it's a lechachilu dikadin, but it's not going to be ma'akev b'diyeved. So kamash malon, that it's even ma'akev b'diyeved. That's the great chiddush, that it's even ma'akev b'diyeved. The Ritva points out, because Rava holds that the edus b'fani nechtam is only because of kim shtaros, so kim shtaros b'alma is only takanas chacham, midar raisa, edim achsum al shtar, nasa kamish nechre edusam b'beisin. So that's good enough. So I might have thought it's not ma'akev b'diyeved, that we can rely on the dar raisa. And even according to Rava, who holds that it's a mishum l'shma, I might have thought that Rabba is concerned that the Batei Din b'Medina Siyam are not b'ki in l'shma. But maybe that concern is not like a 100% concern. Maybe it's like a 10% concern. So he says that, yeah, you should say b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. But maybe b'di'evan, we could rely that most Batei Din must have a clue, must know what they're doing. So come Ashmalan. Therefore comes tell me that no, without b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam, it's actually going to be possible. B'fani nechtam chetzio, b'fani nechtam kulo possible. We then give it a case where the shliach said, half of it was written in front of me, and it was in both Edom signed in front of me, so it's possible. So hey chetzio, which half was written in front of you? It seems to make a difference. difference. If it's what we call the toref of the shtar, which is the real ikar, again, it has the guy's name, the wife's name, the place where the get is written, the zman of the nesina, and it says the magic words, hareyat mutaris the kol adam. So that was written in front of him. The Amora Rebbe Lazar, in the first paragraph we saw, this is the Amora Rebbe Lazar, this is not the Tana, says that even if you only write the first line, the Shema, even just the Toref, Shuvei no Tzarech, and you don't need to see that the rest of it was written Lishma. And if our Mishnah is talking about that, the Eid saw the Toref, so why would the get be puzzled? That shouldn't be a problem. Now there is a Machlokas, Rashi and Tosos, in explaining Rebbe Lazar. Rashi holds that the Eid needs to see the writing of the entire Toref, because that's what needs to be written Lishma, and that's Ma'akiv B'dievet if he doesn't see that. Whereas Tosos back on Daf Hayom Beis in Dibra Maschal Afilu said that Shita Achas means even if you saw just the beginning of it being written Lishma, Minastam, you can assume that the rest of it must have been written Lishma. The Rashash points out that it's Mashma from Tosos, that it's good enough that the Eidim see the beginning of the writing of the Toref, that they don't even, not just that if they write the Toref, you could assume the Tofes was Lishma, you just need to see the beginning of the Torah being written Lishma. That's what Shita Achas means. In Bir Agra, in Ebenezer Simkuf Membeis, he writes on Tosos, V'Rashi Lo Pirishkin. So it sounds like, according to Rashi, that the aide would have to see the entire writing of the Torah of Lishma. So the Bir Agra is the one that really alerts us to that machlokas, that they're really arguing about whether you need to see the whole Torah of being written Lishma or only part of it. But either way, if that's the case in our Mishnah, so then what would be the problem? Why would it be possible? Elam Ravashi Chetzio Achra. No, the case is that the guy only saw the Tofes being written Lishma. The Tofes is just all the legalese to make it a get. But it's not the core information of the get. It's, you know, the Lishonos of Patras Yisichi Lichi Ant Plonis Pas Ploni, you know, etc. So Bifani Nechtav Kula, Bifani Nechtam Chetziel. The guy says, the entire thing was Nechtav in front of me, but only one of the Edom signed in front of me, puzzle. Then the get is puzzle. So now, what the Gemara is about to do is introduce statements of Amoraim, but unlike normally when you have a line from the Mishnah and then Amoraim start speaking, where they just qualify or explain what it says in the Mishnah, we're going to have three major chidushim from Amoraim that do not have anything to do with the Mishnah, meaning they are other cases that the Mishnah did not actually address. So Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda says that if the Shliach says, Befanei Nichtav Kulo, Befanei Nechtam Chetzio, like it says in the Mishnah, Vafilu Shnayim Idim Al Chsimus Yad Sheni, even if you have two people being made on that second signature. So the Shliach himself said, Befanei Nichtav, the entirely, Befanei Nechtam, one of the signatures, and then you have two Edim come and are made about the second signature. Puzzle! That's going to be puzzle. Now, Rav Chisda is not saying that's what the Mishnah said. Rav Chisda is saying that's what I'm telling you. The Mishnah just said that it's puzzle if the Shliach said, Befanei Nechtam Chetzio. I'm telling you that even if you have two Edom on the other signature, it's going to be puzzle. My time, why would it be puzzle? Because you have two ways to be Mekayim Shtar. You could either do regular Kim Shtaros, or you could do the magical Kim Shtaros that the Chamur Masakin forget called Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam. But you cannot mix and match. O Kula Bekim Haget, O Kula Betekanus Cham. Either you could do two Edom being made about both signatures, or you could do Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam. You cannot take one signature and have it be Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam, and the other signature and have regular Kim Shtaros. Mask of the Rav, Rav challenges Rav Chisda. Miika Midi Di Ilu Amrachad, Kosher, Hashadik Atrei, Apostle. How could that be? If one person were to say Befanei Nechtam, Befanei Nechtam on both signatures, it would be Kosher. And now that you have two Edim on one of the signatures, that's going to be worse? That's going to make a puzzle? It's counterintuitive. Ella Amar Rava. So Rava says his own chiddush, again, not explaining the Mishnah, his own chiddush, and that is that that afilu who the acher mi'idin al chesimus yad sheni puzzle, that even if the shliach together with some random guy from the shuk who's not a shliach are made on the signature of the second aid, it's still going to be puzzle. That even though if the shliach alone would have been made on the chesima of the second aid and say that they were both chasim lefanav, that he saw the aid sign it, and even if he would be made, that he'd be makir the chesima of the second aid, we'd accept that and the get would be kosher. but now that he's mitzarif with someone else on one of the signatures, we do not accept his edus. My time up. What would be the psul of bringing in someone else from the shuk to verify part of what you're saying? The shliach is being made on both chasimos, and the chachamim believe him. Kebetrei, why shouldn't we believe him? So the Gemara explains, because if people are going to see that Beis Din is makshir get like this, that the shliach is made on one of the edim all alone, and then he, in combination with somebody else, is made on the other ed. Asad lachlufei bekim shtars dialma v'kanafik nechi rivad amona apum dechatzada. People will confuse this with the other kiim shtaros. And if you have a shtar that comes with two edim on it, and one of the edim that signed on it dies, so if the second ed that's still alive will be made on his own signature, and then be made together with Echon Min Ashuk on the other guy's signature, people will think that you can rely on that as a kiyum shtaros. And that's no good, because while it's true that each of the edim, if they were both alive, could say, yeah, that's my signature, and it would be fine, so one ed being made on his own signature is good for his own signature, but he then can't combine with another aid to be made about the second signature, because then it will turn out that three quarters of the testimony is from this one person. And when you have Shnei Eidim, it's supposed to be half the testimony from one person, half the testimony from the other person. Maskar Vashi Mika Midi Dilmasikle Ihu Lekule Dibure Kosher Hashtadika Chad Ba'adei Pasul. So Vashi challenges Rava in a very similar way to the way Rava challenged Rav Chista. That how does this make any sense? If the Shliach himself were to say that I saw both chasimos, it would be kosher. But now on the second chasima, he has some help from a third party, and now it's going to be problematic? Yeah, because more people are confirming what he said? Elam Ravashi, Ravashi says, I have my chiddush. That afilu omer ani hu eid sheni. That even if the shliach says, I am the eid sheni, it's my signature. Pasul, my taima. Why is that pasul? Because o kula b'kiyum haget, o kula b'takanas chamim. Either you need kiyum haget, which is to be makayim, each aid testifying about their own signature, or the takanas chamim, b'fani nechtam, but you can't have a shliach saying b'fani nechtam the other aid, and I signed as a second aid. So now, tanan, we had learned in our Mishnah, b'fani nechtam kula, b'fani nechtam chetzio, pasul. That if you say you only saw one aid sign in it, it's pasul. So what was the case in the Mishnah? Meaning we just had three Amorayim talking about, and what about the second, if the second signature was confirmed, either with two Eidim, or with, all these different possibilities, or with the guy saying it's my signature, or by combining with someone from the Shulk, right? But what was the Mishnah talking about? It said, B'fanei nechtam chetzio. What about the other signature? If there was no one being made about the second signature, of course that's possible. Hasha echrom funny nichta vechrom funny nechtam, the haikamasa kuliksiva, vaikamasa kuliksim puzzle. Chetzim bai. If you have one guy say funny nichta, another guy says funny nechtam, where you have a funny nechtam, it's just coming from two different mouths, that's puzzle. When you don't even have a full funny nechtam, of course it's going to be puzzle. So there is a klal in Gemara that tafasta maru below tafasta. That if you want to say that the Mishnah is telling you a chiddush, you'd always like to say that it's telling you the smallest possible chiddush as opposed to the greatest possible chiddush. So we had Rav Chista that even if two people from the shuk are made on the second aid, that's going to be possible. We also had Rava saying that no, if the shliach plus another person from the shuk are made on the chesimus aid sheni, that's going to be possible, which is much less of a chiddush than Rav Chista. And then we had Ravashi saying that even if the shliach says, I am the second aid, it's pasul, which is also less of a chiddush than Rav Chista. So Rava and Rav Ashi's chiddush are like parallel to each other. We're not sure which one is a greater chiddush, but they are both less of a chiddush than Rav Chista. So which chiddush is the Mishnah trying to tell us? So Ella Oked Rava Oked Rav Ashi. It must be telling me either Rava's chiddush, and the Mishnah, when it doesn't tell me about what we did about the second signature, must be assuming either like Rava said that the second signature was by the shliach combining with Echad Min Ashuk, or like Ravashi, that the second signature was the Shliach himself, Lafuke mit Rav Chista. But the Mishnah is telling me not like Rav Chista, that it was not talking about a case where the second signature was Shnei Eidim, because there was Shnei Eidim on the second signature, because that is too great of a Chiddush, Tafasta Meruba Lo Tafasta. Amalach Rav Chista, Rav Chista would respond, Ul Taimech, according to you, that the Tana of the Mishnah is telling me, a chiddush through this din. Befani nichtav avalo befani nechtam lamali. Why does it have to say that it's possible if you say befani nichtav but not befani nechtam? It says afterwards in the Mishnah that befani nichtav kula befani nechtam chetzio is possible. So if there's edus on one of the signatures, the get is possible. Kal v'chomer if there's no edus on any of the signatures, the get's going to be possible. Ella lozo avzo katani. What you have to say is that the Mishnah is written in the style of not every din in the Mishnah is a chiddush. So there are dinim in the Mishnah that we would be able to learn from a kal v'chomer, but the Tana is writing the dinim in the Mishnah in the style of lozo avzo, that originally writes the most pasha din, and then it writes a minor chiddush, and then a greater chiddush, and it goes in that order. So the Tana starts with a very pasha din, that when there's no edus at all on the chasimos, the get is pasha. And then it says, not only is that possible, but even if there's edus on one of the chasimos, it's possible. So hachanami lozu avzo katani. So in the hemshich of the Mishnah, it's also lozu avzo. That first the Tana writes that if there's edus on one of the chasimos, and it's not edus, and there's no edus on the other chasima, the get is possible. And then it says that even if there is edus on the other chasima, it's just that one guy said b'fari nechtam, and the other one said b'fari nechtam, it's possible. Meaning essentially what we're saying is that the Mishnah is not teaching me, not only is it not teaching me Rav Chista's chiddush, it's also not teaching me Rava's Chiddush, and it's not teaching me Rav Ashi's Chiddush, because in all three of the Chiddushim of the Amoraim, there was something about the second aid. There was some verification of the second aid. But it's not. It's not telling me any of that. Amar Rav Chista, Gidud Chamisha, Mechitza Chamisha, Ein Mitzarfin. If you have an elevation of five Tfachim and a Mechitza of five Tfachim, they're not Mitzarf to make a wall of a Rosh Hashiachin. Achei, O Kula B'Mechitza, O Kula B'Gidud. It needs to be Kula B'Mechitza, O Kula B'Gidud. Darish Mareimar, that it is mitzarif, v'hilchsa mitzarfin. The halacha is that it is mitzarif. But Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Bayi Ilfa and all of the dinim of Netilas Yadayim. Great day, everyone.